Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The music world moves fast. Want to stay up to date on the latest albums and get in-depth examinations with the artists? Check out Consequence of Sound, the podcast. Bite-sized album reviews for the music fan on the go who wants to stay in the know, and much more. Subscribe to the series on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider, and let the writers of Consequence of Sound steer you right. Check it out at consequenceofsound.net/COS podcast. Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sounds, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, hit the subscribe button right now so you can keep up with the series and all of the interviews we got coming your way. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Hozier. He's back with a brand new EP and a title track called Nina Cried Power that is one of the most powerful songs of 2018 so far. We're going to talk about the songs within the EP, what he's been doing in the downtime since the success of his first record and Take Me to Church, and what we can expect from the sophomore album that's going to be coming out next year. It's Kyle Meredith with Hozier.
Hi, Kyle.
Man, you've released a really powerful new EP. Congratulations on this.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Just happy to be releasing music, releasing tunes again.
Yeah, I guess on, you know, in the timeline, it does look like a while, although there was a little one-offs in between there with some live music and with the Legend of Tarzan track too. But does it feel like this has been a long time coming?
It feels like a matter of months since I was touring last time around, and somewhere between a matter of months and a lifetime. It's kind of that weird kind of thing. And I was touring for 2 years, so even though the album was released, I feel like a lot of the time in between releasing music was spent kind of, you know, touring and promoting it. But it does, what it, I suppose, actually playing shows again, playing shows and you know, doing sessions and kind of living on the bus for the band again. That feels like a homecoming in its own, own weird way, which is nice.
To have, I guess, the kind of success that you did right out of the gate with that last record, I mean, what has that done to your life besides just keeping you out on the road for seemingly ever? I mean, have you been able to find any normalcy in whatever time off? I mean, have you wanted normalcy?
Yeah, no, very, very much so. I found like you've kind of all, it was, you know, it's crazy when it all kicked off, and then it was kind of a crazy few years. So it was important for me definitely to kind of find that normalcy in moving. I kind of moved back to where, very close to where I come from, and lived in the countryside and kind of lived on my own for a bit of time, reconnected with family and the kind of, yeah, just the kind of spot where I grew up and just spent as much time with my head kind of down in work or just chilling out as possible, which was good and nice and kind of private part of the world.
I mean, some folks, you know, that turning off means not even picking up the guitar. Of course, some folks you just can't, you know, help. But to write, yeah. or whatever the case, right?
Totally. And I did. I put down the guitar for a couple of months, I would say. I was writing a lot on piano. And there is that kind of, you know, until you know what it is that you really want to write or what's worth writing. It's kind of nice as well to give your hands a break from falling on the same spot. So there was a bit of time spent in just decompressing entirely from. And then you just find ideas come, you know what I mean? Once you switch off the brain, stuff starts to emerge, which is good.
Yeah. So when did that happen? And was it any one thing? Did you notice? Was there that moment? Do you remember that said, oh, here come the songs again?
Yeah. It's like, weirdly, there was like the latter half of 2017, like this is a 6 month period where I kind of hermited myself in the countryside, and things, like ideas were just kind of falling from me in a nice way. I think I came off the road with no songs written fully, but maybe hundreds of kind of these voice memos and these kind of little voice recordings on my phone. And then there was, you know, some time spent kind of obviously getting my head out of that and then looking through those ideas and kind of you see what's worth exploring, what's, you know, and then you've got new ideas that have been coming to you since you came off. But there is definitely the latter half of 2017 is a blur. It's just a total blur.
You ended up with these four songs here. I mean, do these feel like an island onto their own? Is that how they ended up on the EP, or is this, should we see this as a bridge to the album?
I would definitely see it as a bridge. Yeah, it's a nice little taster place. There's a kind of, there's, you know, if some of the palette of what's on the record and some of the feeling and certainly there's the atmosphere, I suppose, on the EP is definitely something that's explored further in the record. So it is a kind of a sampler of what's to come. There's a lot of different stuff coming, and we'll have another song before Christmas, which is not on the EP, but it's kind of, I would see it as something to kind of bridge the gap.
Let's talk about some of those songs, and we'll get to that title track, because that's, I feel like there's probably a lot to get into with that one, but also there's that one where you only use the abbreviations. I'm going to go ahead and give the full title here with no, but nothing fucks with my baby.
Great to hear that spoken out loud in an interview.
I mean, that's a hook right there. But it's also a love song, yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, I would say so. So it's kind of, I kind of would describe it sometimes as a love song for the end of the world. And it's this, I suppose, imagining nearly in a kind of a fantastic way, like the world kind of coming to an end in a sort of a quite a real sense. Like the song kind of takes its lead from this old W.B. Yeats poem, who's an Irish poet, who wrote a poem called The Second Coming, which describes, it was kind of born out of, like, I suppose, the geopolitical kind of tumultuous time in the early 20th century, and imagining this kind of, you know, the end of the world approaching in a kind of a biblical sense of like the Antichrist waiting to be born. So it's kind of takes its lead from that in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek way, and just imagines the end of the world, but the object of the singer's affections really is something that is far, far above it, or far more kind of nearly far more terrifying in a way that they're completely unfazed by. You know, it's just kind of a love song of kind of looking in awe of somebody who's completely unfazed by the end of the world, if that makes any sense.
And of course, you know, that's in one sense, a hyperbolic sense, how a lot of people are considering that phrase, although in some sense, it could be very real if you're talking about environmental concerns or anything like that. I mean, we obviously don't know about that, but it seems like that's a really interesting way to kind of filter that in. You know, if you look out into the world and you're freaked out, as most of us are these days, about that,
yeah.
You know, to be able to turn that into sort of something personal, and I'll say that again, in a type of love song. That's a really interesting way to do that.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's a fun, it's what Tom Waits calls, you know, it's bad news from a pretty mouth. You know what I mean? It's like trying to, you know, talk about something awful, but in a very, some find some sweetness in it.
Well, I'll use that to the more obvious big song here with Nina Cried Power. This is one of the most powerful songs I think we've heard this year, and it's obviously a powerful message. Where did this come from for you?
I think it was kind of born out of I don't know. I just wanted to write something that was optimistic and that was hopeful and that lacked cynicism and didn't kind of roll its eyes. And again, I think coming off the road like the other year, I just at home, like in Europe and particularly abroad, it just felt like there was kind of an upswing of rhetoric on like I suppose geopolitically speaking, like an upswing of rhetoric that was divisive and had an undercurrent of othering and xenophobia to it, and something that was just spoke to people's worst suspicions and fears about other human beings. And I think the intention was just to write something that was hopeful and kind of optimistic and drew from a legacy of artists that kind of wrote and sang honestly about their own times in difficult circumstances, and artists who lived through even, you know, further in far harder circumstances, far more difficult or confusing circumstances, and just spoke about them and sang honestly about them. And it's, I suppose, this, yeah, I just wanted to write a song that kind of credited that, and just that's a thing that's there's a history there and a legacy there to draw from and feel glad about, you know.
And those artists, I mean, it's a legendary list of artists. Does the artist that you mentioned also direct the sound of the type of song? Because a lot of them do lean towards a certain type of sound.
I mean, there's a lot of the artists mentioned. Some of them are from a blues or soul or kind of R&B background. A lot of them, though, I mean, there's Woody Guthrie is in there, so it's like, and Bob Dylan and Pete Seeger. And then there's kind of, I think John Lennon is mentioned. So there isn't. And then of course, there's like, you know, Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye is mentioned in there, and Joni Mitchell and Patti Smith. So it's kind of, it's a fairly wide stable of styles and genres. But I think for me, like, obviously, like absolute heroes and absolute, you know, like legends of their craft, but people who imbued their work with an honesty and let their music be a vehicle for the zeitgeist and for, I don't know, for themes that were important to the days that they lived in. And I think for me, it's the song, it's just a thank you note to that. It's a thank you note to the decision to do that.
And then having, of course, Mavis Staples and Booker T on there. I mean, she's mentioned in the song and she guests on the song, mm-hmm. As well as so many of her contemporaries. Did she comment on any of those? Did that allow you to jump into the stories? Like, oh, let me tell you about the time with so-and-so. I mean,
she did, and that was outrageous. Yeah, like that, like I think that was, for me, obviously, Mavis Staples is one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. She is the warmest, kindest, most generous with her time, generous with her spirit, that I've ever met. One of the coolest people I've ever met. And then obviously just the legacy of her kind of her music and the Staples singers as well. But yeah, as we were kind of going through the names and we were talking about the lyrics, and she would, you know, stop every now and then and go, you know, talk about Joni Mitchell for a moment, or she'd stop and talk about the time she saw Nina Simone and you know, what she felt when she first saw Nina Simone perform. And then also just like her experiences as being, because, you know, she was so central to I suppose the civil rights movement here, mm-hmm. which is just, and it's such a linchpin moment in kind of Western democracy. You know, it's such an amazing period of time. But yeah, so she would speak just, you know, it's, you know, it's just such a treasure trove of kind of experience and information, and getting to speak to her is yeah, she's amazing.
She is, and I would just echo that, one of the most, you know, important artists of all time, and having her there, I mean, what an experience that is for anybody.
Oh, totally, man. It was a dream. No, it really was. I feel really honored that she would join us on the track. She's a legend.
And I'll bring up another one. You recently met Springsteen, right?
Oh my God, yes.
What was that like?
I was. Oh my God. So, you know, Springsteen is on Broadway at the moment. So I was getting into New York and we are label mates. We're on the same mm-hmm. record label, which I'm very, very proud to say. But, so somebody from Columbia had surprised me with tickets to his Broadway show, which is absolutely beautiful and contains a lot of excerpts and from his autobiography, and he kind of expands on them and contextualizes them and you know, would sing songs and kind of curated to what he's talking about. But really beautiful, man. I was like, it's a very beautiful show. I was quite moved by it. And then I just got to meet him for the first time afterwards, which is a joy, because like he's a really inspirational artist for me. He's the boss. You know, there's no other way around it. He's amazing.
You know, he's a man who when asked can dill out plenty of advice too. So I don't know if you got that chance, but
no. I mean, we didn't get a huge chance to chat afterwards, but I have to say, just to show in and of itself, I suppose the man leads by example. You know, in that regard, he's a dude.
Backing up just a little bit, and I'll kind of close out with this too. You know, so you had Better Love, as I mentioned earlier, with The Legend of Tarzan. Going into this, I don't know, did that allow you to try on any different styles, to access a different road that sort of helped? Because, you know, going into the EP, you hear little hints that there are bigger sounds that we can hear on this. I'm not going to say more produced or anything like that, mm-hmm. because I don't think that's the fair phrasing mm-hmm. or anything. But, you know, there is some bigger things. And working on a project like that, I know, can kind of, you know, allow artists to try out that muscle a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, definitely on this record, moving forward, there's a few things that kind of expanded on. And obviously, I'm still very much in love with kind of like a choral tradition and like human voices in harmony and arranging backing vocals and stuff as a vehicle for the song and like just a tradition of kind of singing in harmony with other voices. So there's exploring that quite a bit again, and then trying out a little bit more electronic sound here and there. Nothing too crazy, but just kind of exploring different palettes here and there. But it's definitely and then also, I suppose, writing stuff that, for me, because I've spent so long on the road, stuff that is really, really fun to play live. Some stuff that is really, really enjoyable to perform, and that, I think, leaning into rhythm a bit more, letting rhythm take the lead a little bit, and letting some of the music be informed by its rhythm. That's maybe something that kind of was fun to explore this time around.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of it, because I've enjoyed this EP so much, and it's really fun to know that there's even an extra song on the way. I don't know what you can say about it. Is that part of a project, or is that just going to be a one-off?
That's a one-off. It is. It probably will be. You know, it falls under the category of the record coming early next year. So it would be, you know, it'd be a single off the record. But it's one of my favorites, I have to say. It's called Movement, and I don't know what I can and can't talk about regards the video and stuff, but it's one I'm super proud of, and it's definitely one of my favorites, hands down. And we've kind of snuck it into the live set here and there, just to give people a listen to it. And it's definitely my favorite. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're looking at that, releasing that in about a month's time or so.
That's exciting, man. Yeah. Andrew, this has been so much fun talking. Thank you for your time today. Congratulations on the song. You've really done something outstanding.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that. And yeah, thank you for talking to me. Thanks for the support. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime. We'll see you around.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, dude. See you at a show at some stage, hopefully.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, dude. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, my thanks to Hozier for the call. The new EP is Nina Cry Power. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening today, whether it's on YouTube, iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're getting it from. Subscribe, give it a rating, leave a review as well. Then you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You can also find some bonus episodes of this series over there. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.